Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we have got a subject today that I know is going to be very thought-provoking, and it's one that typically people don't like to talk about, except in a very private mode, so we're going to the unprivate arena, because if you know of anyone that has ever gone through any kind of horrific physical abuse, mental abuse, this is something you're going to want to listen to. I have a very special guest today. Patricia Evans is the lady we're going to be talking with. Her book is called The Verbally Abusive Man, Can He Change? Patricia, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here, Donna, and to talk about this. And I bet you, I would think that many of your listeners are wondering, what does she mean, man? What about the verbally abusive woman?
Uh-huh. We're going to go into that because that was something that really caught my eye.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated by some of your statements. Now, I want my audience to know a little bit about you. You have authored 4 best-selling books, and you are renowned for being an interpersonal communication specialist, and you can illuminate us on that. You've been on Oprah, CNN, and you've been written up in Newsweek and in the O Magazine. You are in the San Francisco area. You have made this your passion. Why?
Well, when I was a little kid, I wondered, what is wrong with people? Why can't they get along? You know, I mean, why do we have wars? Why is this going on? What's happening? That there's always fighting and stuff. And I really was wondering that from the time I was about 10 years old. And it was really by understanding living systems theory that I could see that when somebody defines somebody, like they say, you're too sensitive or you're stupid, they don't see the real person. So they end the relationship with that person at that moment. Then if they ask the person a question like, is dinner ready? Or I fixed dinner, you know, or can you come in here, then they're open to hear the real person. So so that was a big clue as to what is wrong. And then I started grad psych, and then I realized that there was no literature. I talked with a professor, and he said, that's, you know, it's verbal abuse. I was told you're to be seen and not heard. He said that made it terribly challenging to become a professor, where I was always seen and heard and standing up in front of a class.
Mm-hmm.
We decided, well, that is verbal abuse. And he said, if you could, you know, I said, well, I can't find it in psychology. And he said, well, there's, if you could write about it, then write a book on it that would show people how to recognize it, he said. And I thought, oh, well, you know, that was hardly, I could hardly think about that. I couldn't imagine I could do that. But anyway, so I did introduce it to the world as in terms of verbally abusive relationships. And the word verbal abuse was out there is usually talking about cussing and swearing, mm-hmm. and name-calling. But there is so much more to it, because if we look at the annihilation or assault to consciousness, we can see that if someone steps in your mind, so to speak, and says to you, you know, you're jumping to conclusions, instead of saying, how'd you come to that conclusion, or have you considered this? See, if they ask the question, they're open to the real you showing up and saying, well, yeah, I did, and this is what I decided. But in an abusive situation, there's usually, sometimes both people are doing it, usually one person's doing it. And one person is telling the other what they are, what they think, what they feel, like, you don't care, or you don't feel that way, or whatever, or you think you know it all, I know what you think, I know, you know, I know what you are, I know what you, all this. And it's so crazy. It's silly. It's irrational. But it's also ending the relationship. It's also assaulting the other person's consciousness. It's also an attempt to erase their perceptions and assault their mind. And so it's extremely toxic. And so this is, you know, really what it is. But when I wrote this book, I realized that I have worked with, as a consultant, referring people to various kinds of therapy and explaining the dynamics and so many things. I've consulted to hundreds, maybe, I don't know, 900-something, whatever. I have a list, you know, on my computer, but just hundreds and hundreds of people. And I have had a lot of men, especially after the first few years, where people stop saying, "Is verbal abuse? Is that some new thing? Another new abuse?" Mm-hmm. You know, they got child abuse. Now they got, you know, how silly. But anyway, I've gotten a lot of calls from men saying, you know, "I think I'm doing this." One man called and said, "I found your book, and I want it changed before my wife reads it, before she finds it."
Well, so, on that note, what I'd like to do, if you don't mind me interrupting you, you have some poems throughout your book. And this one, which is titled Innocent Words, and it was written by a person that was a survivor of verbal abuse. And I'd like to go into some examples in your book. But I thought this poem was very, very meaningful. And here's how it reads. "Words mean nothing till you speak or pen them, then they reveal the message in your heart. Words can bring joy and laughter in song or prose. Words spoken and penned in poem can woo and romance grows. Yet innocent words uttered in anger and hate can cut like a knife and wound till it is too late. So choose unsuspecting words with wisdom and honor, for although your words, like an unfettered arrow, may be forgotten, the piercing pain of words hitting another's heart is felt forever. We live in yet an unscripted world, which our words have yet woven, so do not wield your words like a brandishing sword, but create a world of wonder with your well-spoken word." And when I think, mm-hmm. Patricia, of that poem,
yeah.
and
yeah.
the person that was expressing herself, when I think of it, it is a fascinating phenomena in the world today.
Yes.
And so many of the younger generation have been taught, spit out whatever you want. And they were taught by adults to do this. Say whatever you want. It doesn't make any difference. You don't have to think. Just say what you want.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is words do have power. And when
power.
You are slicing and dicing someone else up because you're not feeling too good and you don't know, you've got diarrhea of the mouth, you don't know what else to do with it. So here you are, you're doing this. It's a horrendous thing. Now, you made a comment
mm-hmm.
when right at the beginning of the show.
Oh,
people
yeah.
say, "Gee whiz, you talk about the verbally abusive man." And I know I could hear people responding to this. What about the verbally abusive
yeah,
woman? Because
well,
there are some cautious
yeah.
women.
Yeah,
you made a specific comment about women, the verbally
yeah,
abusive female. Cover
yeah.
that.
Well, the reason I was mentioning earlier that I get a lot of calls from men saying I want to change, so I'm working with very many hundreds of people and talking to groups and all this. Only four women have, or three, I can't remember now if it's three or four, because one came in after the book was written, but three or four women have come forward and said, "Gee, I'm doing this. I want to change." And all three canceled, and their appointments with me, and none of the men do. I mean, you know, they were very happy to talk to me. I was very nice to them. I was really glad to be able to be of any assistance and so forth. But what I have seen is that for the core problem, the reason a person in a relationship is consistently verbally abusive, as some of them are, is because they can't really see the real person that's standing in front of them. They have, in a sense, projected their own, say a guy's projected his feminine side into his partner, and she's supposed to know what he meant. "You know what I meant, you know what I, you know, why are you asking me? You know, this other part of him already knows the answer, so he won't respond," and so on. So there's a way to explain all this. Why do these people do it? What's wrong with them, so to speak? And yet, for a woman to be severed from so much of herself that she makes her spouse her other half is and expects him to know what she meant and what she wants, and to be in a rage if he doesn't anticipate her needs or provide something she wants or whatever. She has to be severed from the archetypally feminine qualities. She has to be so damaged that I have never seen a woman who is a real verbal abuser change. I have never seen a woman who rages and throws things, or who won't speak to her husband for months, or who doesn't give him his phone messages, or takes the phone out of the wall, or et cetera, et cetera. I've never seen a really verbally abusive woman change, but I've seen men change, and I've seen men work very hard at changing, going through change. And I've had men clients who will call up, you know, every month or 6 months or 10 months and say, well, everything was great, and I just slipped up on this one thing. Why did I do that? And so, you know, they're continuing to work, and I've seen a couple just really seem to go through a transformation, and only two out of, you know, several hundred. And I think that that was because in both cases they were very, very intelligent. They came from another culture. They somehow knew in that world they were in that something was wrong. They didn't internalize what they were told as children. I think they were so bright, they were able at two or three or four to go, something's wrong with Dad, something's wrong with Mom, whatever, and not think that, you know, not shut down themselves so they don't develop. Because the people who are really verbally abusive have a lot missing inside of themselves. It's not integrated. And they look for that in their partner. They want this need meeting, caring, loving, anticipating every need, mirroring them person, and nobody could be that.
Absolutely not. And I know, having been involved in counseling for so many years myself and working with different people, I think of one woman who has just gone, she's been married for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
She would talk about her husband and how anything she did, she was stupid, and it was horrific. I think of another woman whose husband came from a different culture, which I'd like to get into that, because culture has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Environments that you have, you know, religious beliefs and all of this. So there's just so many things that can come in that can affect a person's psyche.
Yeah, they can increase it and make it worse.
That's right,
yeah.
Very much so. And with
mm-hmm.
this woman, she was married to someone that was from the Middle East, and there was some kind of a conflict. And in his culture, it was that the woman was totally subservient. And he turned to her one day and he said, you're very fortunate, I haven't beaten you. And she was stunned. This was an American woman, and she's saying, what?
What?
Well, the truth was, she ended up leaving him.
Yeah.
And then he bemoaned it, and he was sad, and he went through all kinds of stuff. But she said, for someone to say, you're lucky I didn't beat you. But that was a part of his culture.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of what was expected for a man to do, because a woman was lower than a dog for all
mm-hmm.
intents and purposes
mm-hmm.
in his cultural upbringing.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have so much diversity here. Now, I like your two words that you use in here. When someone is verbally abusive, they're a psychological quadriplegic.
Well, yeah.
I love that. I mean, because you're right, when someone is doing this,
yeah,
they are just... not
a person
together.
Can grow up in a culture that severs them from their humanity, so to speak, and that's the extremists that we see. And a person can grow up in a family that severs them from a lot of themselves, their feeling, sensate, intuitive self, their inner world, until we could say they are, like, psychologically severed from so much of themselves. And those are the ones that are the most dangerous and so forth. And there's, there's a range, a gradient, as you well know, you know, that of severity in this. But when a person is consistently verbally abusive, in that he's defining his partner in a consistent way, like, you didn't say that. I don't know what you're talking about. You're just trying to start a fight. You're always doing this. You're, you know, all this stuff. Then he doesn't really see her at all, and he's always angry. Her personhood becomes a threat to him because real woman shows up in the body where he anchored this unlived, unintegrated, undeveloped side of himself. And so he's expecting her to make him whole and complete, and she can't really do that. So it's quite an amazing kind of thing. I mean, there was a time, as we all know, when women were told, of course you can't go to college. If women don't go to college, their brains would be addled if they went to college. And these men did not think of themselves as abusive. Well, in the same way now, a man might say, you couldn't do that, or you don't know what you're doing, or you're doing it all wrong. Or instead of, realizing, hey, I'm not you. I can't live inside you and tell you how you do what you do. I don't live inside you. I don't know what you think. I don't live inside you, and I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to stop pretending to be you, a woman. When I can stop pretending to be you and tell you what you think and are and feel and are trying to do, and so on and so forth, then, we could have a relationship instead of this. So this book explains this, and you mentioned the Middle East. Well, we know there's conflict in a lot of places, but wherever there's a lot of conflict, it's where the what I have seen anyway is where there's almost no people are severed from themselves very, very much, and the feminine is suppressed. And I heard on CNN today a gentleman saying that there was a view, not that he believed it, but there was a view by the extremists that that by bringing in such things as contraceptives, Planned Parenthood, things that are things that women want, they felt their culture was being subverted, and that made us evil, and that's why they were out to kill all Americans. And so anything that's liberating, and he also mentioned that abortion, and people have different views on that, but that to these people, anything that would liberate a woman in some way, anything that would give her any kind of equal rights, that isn't allowed. And so it's the suppression of the feminine, and then it's like the Taliban I mentioned in a book, Controlling People. They've just collectively anchored their unlived selves in their partners, covered up the real woman so they don't see her, so they can stay in the what I call the dream state with dream woman, not see real woman at all. And so this suppression of the feminine is really the suppression of their emotional self, their intuitive self, and somewhat their sensate self. So they're walking around, as you were brought up, as psychological quadriplegics. And we're all trying to solve the problems of the world without realizing where these problems come from. That's my view, anyway.
Patricia Evans is my guest today. Her book, The Verbally Abusive Man, Can He Change? It's a woman's guide to deciding whether to stay or to go. And I will have to say, Patricia, in my interactions with women and men from around the world, mm-hmm. I find that there are so many variances. And for things to change, I mean, you look at our country. Most women, young women today, do not realize that the independent female that they are accustomed to being able to express has only been around between 50 and 75 years.
Exactly.
And it's relatively new in this country.
Exactly.
And in the 1960s, a woman did not have the right to get a divorce. A man, and in California this was the case, you could go in and get a divorce, but you, as a woman, you had to have some horrific lie to talk about so that when you went into a court of law that you had the right to get the divorce.
Yeah.
Unless you went to Reno.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, that isn't that far back, and that finally was changed. But you have all of these various things that the younger generation seems to think, gee, it's been here all the time. It hasn't been.
Mm-hmm.
And
it
the
hasn't.
Right of choice.
Yeah.
When a woman understands that she does have a right to say no, when someone is demeaning her, that she must take the positioning of, why is it that I feel that this person is saying the right thing? And I think of someone I've known for years that mm-hmm. has a spouse And it's you have something in your book. When I was reading it, I went, oh my goodness, it's their marriage all the way down the line.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm giving her the book as a gift.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
He's one of these people. He's an excellent provider.
Mm-hmm.
He works hard.
Yeah.
But he goes through these tremendous moods, and then no matter what she does, she can fix him breakfast. He'll come in. He'll treat her like dirt. He just does all kinds of stuff, and she just looks at him and she says, what planet did you come off of, you know, today?
Mm-hmm.
Did you leave in a spaceship and come back deciding this is what you were going to do? And the man is so distorted, and when he's around friends, it's just absolutely wonderful. He totally changes his persona,
yeah.
And everybody thinks he's Mr. Wonderful. She said, nobody believes me when
yeah.
I talk to him.
Nobody, this is a universal almost.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably heard this from, 20,000 women.
Easily.
Nobody believes me. He looks so good to the world. And this is because when he was severed from his real self, he had to develop an identity from the outside in instead of the inside out. And this is explaining this other book, Controlling People. They kind of each build on the other. But anyway, he developed this identity, and that's who he is. He looks around and sees, what am I supposed to be, Mr. Nice Guy? So when he walks out the door, he's Mr. Nice Guy. When he walks in the door and there's his wife, it's like, wow, there's the rest of me. She and I are of one mind, but he's not really thinking that, but it is how he, it is an underlying perception of their relationship, and, she doesn't, somehow he feels irritated right away. She just doesn't look like he'd like her to look that moment, or she's asking him a question, and the rest of him already knows the answer, so who's this standing here? Where did the rest of me go? So he's bonded to this undeveloped side of himself that he's put in his partner, so to speak, like a bond in an atom. And when that bond is broken, there's an atomic explosion. So he does feel angry. He feels attacked all the time. He feels irritated all the time. And he's not really clear why. And that's, you know, I mean, psychologists and so forth have talked to me about the book that introduced that paradigm. And now this book here, the Verbally Abusive Man, Can He Change, shows how to implement this, how to be able to say, you know, neither of us are going to tell each other what they are, what they think, what they feel, what they mean. And all these examples, I have 400 examples, more than 400 in there. So women can look through, or men. A man can try this with his partner, but I've seen men change, but I haven't seen women change. So the book is devoted to the major problem. I mean, for every 300 women who contact me, I might hear from one man. And so who is suffering from somebody who is really very, very abusive to him. And he will try to make it work just like women do. And one of the most dreadful things is that when a woman has children and her husband have children, and it becomes so toxic, or I just talked to one today that she's so worried. She has four children, and he has to make a good living. He's Mr. Nice Guy to the world and all of that, but she's so concerned for not only his raging at her, but also the oldest is now like 11 years old, so the oldest will often be the target, and the other ones too. And so she's thinking, gee, if I could just, maybe I just have to, you know, end this relationship and all. But then she has to face, will he do this with the children somewhere else? And even worse than that, she has to face that many courts throughout the United States having no concept of this, and some being just like her husband, just say, you know, you're just trying to alienate these children so you can't have them. And there are fabulous women around the country who either have supervised visitation with their children that they were devoting their lives to, or don't see their children at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is the last hold that there. And so there's a great deal of effort being made to bring a kind of oversight and standardization and new laws and so many things to reform that family court system, which was originally set up to divide property. And children are still seen by some judges as property that belongs to the father.
Well, there's a lot in history relative to that that would be a fascinating topic to discuss, but I know we're getting close to coming to the end of our time together. You make a statement in one of your sentences, defining women is so old and pervasive and evil that many men don't notice when it's happening. Well, when you stop and think of particular cultural attitudes, and I can remember when I was growing up, mm-hmm. women were, you know, I can remember wanting to go into the armed forces. Mm-hmm. And I was told by an uncle, no, you don't want to do that. And I said, but why not? Well, he gave the implication that I probably was going to end up being raped. And that was so far removed from the truth, but, I mean, that was his male perception. That was what he said, that's just not what nice girls go in for. Well, that's stupid. I think that women that want to serve in the military, I can say that now, but mm-hmm. I didn't know it when I was 17, 18 mm-hmm. years old.
Yeah.
And so when we're of a mindset and we're raised in a certain environment, mm-hmm. I want to add something to what you've got, and that is, yes, there is a social definition, and yes, it takes effort to break it, and we've done a lot to try to bring things into an understanding that if you're intelligent, who cares if you're in a male body or a female body? If uh-huh. you're capable, you're capable. But women, and I say this from, this is my opinion, women define a lot of the social parameters as well. And I've met women in many different cultures mm-hmm. who have continue to support a level of ignorance and fear because they don't know what else to do without it.
That's
so
right.
Women are so powerful.
Yeah, in my second book, I say something like people who grow up in cloth cages feel comfortable there. People who grow up in restrictive little worlds don't know any other way to exist. So they will continue to perpetuate the system. It's like if you go back to a long, long time ago and you know that in China women's feet were bound, of course, so they would be not able to get away from the men, then there were women who finally, you know, stopped doing that. And it wasn't just fine. They had to break all the bones and so forth to do this. But then if they didn't, their child would maybe never marry, never work, be penniless and
mm-hmm.
on the streets.
Right. It was
so
supposedly
it was a survival
thing. Beauty.
So it takes time to shift these things
mm-hmm.
and to
that
bring awareness. And I find very, very many women are aware, but the last thing is, you know, and then some are have become just petrified of taking, it's trauma bonding, there's brainwashing. After 20 or 30 years of brainwashing, some women will find that it's nearly impossible for them to make a move unless they have a lot of support and a lot of help. But by then, they're also isolated. And I want to say one thing, and one of the things I say in my book is, if O.J. did it, that's actually, was book came out before the,
mm-hmm.
the controversial one
mm-hmm.
was not published, but I say, if O.J. did it, then hearing something like, you can't join me for dinner, around with other people around, that would have caused an enormous conflict because he had an outside persona, but suddenly now he was losing the body that he had stalked, so obviously he still had Dream Woman in her. And so that would feel like he was losing the rest of himself, like a killing attack. And that's my theory.
Patricia, we are out of time, my dear.
Uh-huh.
The verbally abusive man, can he change? That's the name of this thought-provoking book, and I feel that there is so much good information in it that if you have gone through abuse yourself, if you know of someone that can benefit from knowing about the options they have, then go to her website, verbalabuse.com, verbalabuse.com. And again, Patricia Evans, thank you so much for being my guest today, Patricia.
Oh, thank you. It was a real pleasure. Real pleasure. Thank you.
We'll be coming back in just a moment. Don't you go away. More good things to share. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I'm just so delighted that we're able to share information with you, such as we did with Patricia Evans. I'll tell you why. In my mind's view, having gone through various experiences of life, we all have to climb our mountains of experience. Sometimes we go through a few valleys, and we go through a number of lumpy bumps, but we all encounter the mountains. We have to grow and we have to learn. And the only way we can learn is when we open ourselves up to stretch into the greatness of who we are as a person. Now, that may sound a little melodramatic, but I'll tell you, I've never met anyone, and I mean this most sincerely, I have yet to meet anybody who is successful in life, who is an excellent example of whatever they represent, that hasn't gone through difficult times. And it's so easy to look at life and say, oh, it should be this way, that way, the other way. Nobody said life's fair. Last night on television, I was felt so privileged to be able to watch a documentary on a surgeon who went to India. And I didn't have paper and pen where I could make notes, and I should have. Because there was this group of medical professionals that came in from the United States into India. They were in this particular clinic for, I think it was about 3 months. They volunteered their time at a clinic that deals with the poor of India. And when I saw the cleft palates of these children, when I saw one of the children, actually there were two. One was a little girl. She couldn't have been more than 3. Her head and parts of her face bulging because part of her brain had been oozing out through a hole in her skull. Horribly, horribly deformed. Another young boy who had had the same thing, and eventually it was going to kill them. And so here are these surgeons who have spent years in refining their capacities and their skills with plastic surgery and being able to help people. And they are in this clinic dedicating their time to helping these people, never charging them a penny. These people can't afford anything. These people are living on the site of the hospital. They're given the permission to do that because they don't have the money to live in hotels or anything like this. And so they wait. They wait and they wait, hoping that they will be one of those that will be chosen to be operated on. And, of course, they have all kinds of experiences in dealing with this. But one of the things it shows you is that life is not fair. And often the conditions that have occurred with these children have evolved because of malnutrition. The women not knowing what goes on, what they need, or not being in a position to afford it. And so the children, here they are, they have an opportunity to be healed by these wonderfully dedicated physicians. And the stories of success, but watching what the procedures were, what they had to do, how they had to work in an environment to sterilize the air. They had to have disinfection machines running all night long so that they could do their operations because it would be so easy for infection to set in. They had to clear the room, making sure there were no snakes in it. They had to make sure everything was very, very clean because whenever they had to work on a face or the brain, they had to make sure that everything was as clean as possible. And these surgeries would take not just a couple hours, but 11 hours, one of them did. Incredible, incredible stuff. And I thought, how fortunate we are today because there are people that are saying, I feel I have something to offer. And when we have opportunities like this, as I was watching this program last night, and I thought, here are these wonderfully dedicated, talented people that have been able to invest the time, the effort, and energy in developing these skills, and they're out doing what they can to help people in another country, in another place. They do it here, too. But they're doing it. They're saying, this is what I must do. I have this responsibility. I've got to be able to put my work and out there and have a value. It's more than about money, but there is something that is so important, and that is self-esteem. When these children were given back their faces, when they were given back a sense of normalcy, they then said, I can go to college now. I'm not going to be made fun of. I'm not going to be put down. I'm not going to be beaten up by my peers. I'm not going to be an outcast. And it's so important to understand that what liberates us, it could be anything from a plastic surgery to improve a physical defect, to educating your mind. And when you have the capacity to step out of the box, I don't care how life has been to you, when you have a chance to stretch yourself into a new dimension, you have a chance to live and a chance to be that person that has greatness inside themselves and creating a better good in life. It's awesome. This is Donna Sebo. We've got a caller. And if you'd like to call in, let me give out the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227 in the U.S. of A, or 888-810-8322 from Canada. Hello, caller, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Kim.
And where are you calling from, Kim?
I'm calling from Tacoma.
From Tacoma.
Yes.
Well, is it still snowing over in your neck of the woods, or is the snow all gone with the rain that's dribbling?
Oh, no, it's just rain now.
Now everybody's going to be happy to get out and about.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Kim, the first thing I'm looking at with you, I'm looking at a series of numbers. I'm looking at the number 9, I'm looking at the number 7, I'm looking at the number 3, and then I'm looking at the number 4. Now, I'm intrigued with this because I don't often get numbers like this, but I think in 9 months there is going to be a feeling of success and fulfillment with finances. I think in 7 months you're going to be able to settle something in the way of a dispute with another person that has been causing you some concern, and I think it's more miscommunication than anything else. And then I got the number 3, and I'm looking at, in 3 days, you have to make a decision on where you're going to put certain direction of focus for financial planning. Now, that seems like a very short period of time, but you've decided you really want to pay attention to how your financial prosperity is going to be flowing. And you're looking at how you really want to put things together. I could be wrong. It could be 3 weeks. And then I'm looking at the number 4, and then I'm getting a vacation. So I think that in the fourth month, which is April, there's going to be an opportunity for you to take a short getaway. And when you do that, you're going to find yourself feeling as if you want to do more of this. And I would say planning is going to make sense. So get your financial agenda in place so that you can hold to it. I don't care if it's saving $12.50 a week to saving $1 million a month. It wouldn't make any difference. The choice is yours. But whatever you decide to do, hold to it and be consistent with it, and you'll have no regrets. What would you like to ask me today?
Well, I just wanted to see if you saw a relocation or a new career in place for me anytime soon.
Soon, no. If you're talking about like 2 weeks, no. Career, yes, 9 months. I think you've got something that's shifting for you that's going to open a door. What kind of work are you doing right now?
I work out of college.
What kind of work?
Program coordinator.
Well, where would you like to see yourself, Kim? What would you like to be doing?
Well, you know, I'm not really sure. I'm a little open, so, you know, I'm just a little unclear, I think, is probably what the problem is. I'd like to try out different things, definitely.
What kind of things would you like to try out?
I don't know, maybe real estate. That's probably one of the main ones.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think the interest in real estate is a good one, but I don't know that you're going to make it your career. I think if you want to make that a focus for creating some financial assets for yourself, that might be a good place to begin.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know that you would want to give up your weekends. And there's a lot of work that goes on in real estate. Now, I do think that there is going to be an affiliation with a group of women that you are thoroughly going to enjoy, and they may want you to become a coordinator for their activities and use your skills there. But I really think, Kim, that you want to have a bigger purpose in your life, in the sense that you want to be more of a teacher, and you want to not just be in a position of being able to instruct, but also have a team that you could work with, that you would have as a supportive circle. And I think that would work out very, very nicely for you. So in as much as you're in a college environment, let me just toss out a suggestion. I would suggest that you talk to some of your peers that you really, really have a good sense of confidence and trust in, and say, if you were to describe me, what would you describe as my strong points professionally? And let them tell you.
Yes, I'm here.
You know, do that. And then just say, and then what would you describe as my weak points?
Okay.
And then take it as it comes and write it down. See, this is good. And don't take any of it personally.
Right.
Look at it as a bunch of blocks, you know, each statement. Gee, you're a great organizer, or you know how to problem solve so well, or you're always dependable. You know, these various things. Just say, okay, I've got these words. Now, how do I want these words to build into what I really want to do? I don't see you as a big public person,
right,
where you necessarily want to deal with tens of thousands of people. I don't see that. But I think you really enjoy dealing with smaller groupings of people, and you love the interaction when you can be around other women who have very, very progressive, innovative thoughts. And I think you need a team like that to be affiliated with, and that you would just, you and the team would just have a blast getting together brainstorming.
Oh, great. All right, that sounds good then.
Well, I appreciate your call.
Well, thank you so much. It was good talking to you.
Well, it's a pleasure talking with you, and be sure and tell your friends about the show.
I will do so.
All right, dear. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Siebel. By the way, next week, hey, we've got a lineup of guests that's just absolutely awesome. Want to know a little bit about Dan Rather? Well, we're going to be talking with a man that worked with him and has written a book about him called The Lone Star Extraordinary. Dan Rather, Alan Weissman's going to be my guest. Also, we're going to be talking on Tuesday with Dr. Elizabeth Roberts about a very, very provocative subject in my mind, see you anyway. Should you medicate your child's mind? I have definite attitudes about that, but I think you're going to be fascinated with Dr. Elizabeth Roberts. Also, we're going to be talking with Richard Smith. We're going to be going into information about real estate. Really good stuff. And this is a man that has 30-plus years' experience, and he's going to be here sharing it with you. Then Tom T. Moore, The Gentle Way, is going to be our subject matter. This is a man who travels all over the world, and this is something that he employs all the time. And then divorce, he's going to be going through one. Do you know of somebody that may need some help? Well, we're going to be talking how one can have a divorce and have it successfully. You don't have to have this bitter, dramatic mess. It's not necessary. Well, that's what we've got coming up next week. Don't you go away. Telephone lines are open, 876-5227 or 888-810-8322. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 here in the U.S. or in Canada, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. Now, for those of you listening in Alaska, I want to let you know that I'm going to be in Fairbanks next week as well as Anchorage. And if you want to reach me or to schedule a private appointment with me, call me on my 800 number, 872-8852. And for those of you listening from different parts of the country, hey, I'm also available for private appointments by phone and in person, even when I'm on the road traveling, and it's very easy to just give me a buzz at my 800 number, 872-8852. Well, if you'd like to swap and save, are you one of these people, maybe you get gifts or something you just don't want anymore, and you say, gee, how can I get rid of this stuff, and I just don't want to give it away? Well, the Internet has got a lot of sites. I'm always amazed at this, at what people are able to do. It just absolutely just is really exciting. You can have an easy time and have a lot of fun trading whatever you may have or cashing it in when it comes to gift certificates, clothing, all kinds of things. So I wanted to share this with you. You need to think twice before giving a gift card. There's $2 billion worth of gift cards that are lost or unused each year. $2 billion of gift cards that are lost or unused each year. And often the reason that many of the cards won't be used is maybe you only have a certain amount of time. I know we were given some gift cards and they were only good like for 6 months, and then all of a sudden, hey, we can't use them because there's an expiration date on it, so that's just something to keep in mind. A gift card to a store that you never shop at, you can sell or exchange it online at swapagift.com or certificateswap.com, and there are apparently some fees that come with that, but that's swapagift.com or certificateswap.com, and a book, a CD, or DVD you own, you can set up a seller account and list the ISBN or the UPC codes, and that can be done on Amazon.com for a charge of $1.20 per item, or you can swap them for what you want at TitleTrader.com, TitleTrader.com. And then cell phone plan that costs you big bucks, they said forget paying $200 to end your contract since most carriers allow transfers. Auction off your plan at Resellular.com. That's Resellular.com. And if you've got clothing, you can swap or sell adult apparel at SwapStyle.com. That's SwapStyle.com. There's a tiny fee with that. And also for kids' clothes, you can have SwapHandMeDowns.com. SwapHandMeDowns.com. And if you've got puzzles, games, dolls, trucks, and just so many different things that can be traded and sold or donated for kids, there's a toyswap.com, and it's only a dollar per transaction. So that's toyswap.com. And I was astonished that people can even do trades on their home. Yes. Now, they're talking about a vacation, and they say, forget about pricey hotels. Instead, plop down just $60 to $125 to list your home on the homeexchange.com, homeexchange.com, or digsville.com, D-I-G-S-V-I-L-L-E.com, where other travelers can see it and offer to swap homes. And you can end up having a very nice place to stay for free. Now, if you're concerned about security and all that, I'm sure they can answer those questions for you. But that's just some good information that I think in our world today, so much has changed, and we want to be able to get value for what we have. And, of course, there's always charities. There's always women's shelters, men's shelters. If you have clothing and you want it to find a good home, you have computers, you have pieces of equipment that you don't need anymore. Maybe there's a school or there's a library. There's some place that would be delighted to take over what you don't want anymore. I think lots of times all you have to do is ask around. Of course, there's wonderful clubs like the Lions Club, the Rotary Club, Kiwanis, different organizations like this. They all have their different projects. So there are so many wonderful, wonderful organizations that if you have something you really don't need anymore, or maybe you're sizing down, or you're wanting to do something that you just say, my lifestyle is entirely different. Do like some friends of mine did. Maybe have a garage sale. Or they even had with their garage sale, they had this great big area of stuff that they just said, if anybody wants it, just come and get it for free. They had all kinds of things. And people just stopped by and picked stuff up, and they said it was a great way. Went to a good home, someplace that needed what they had to offer, and they were very, very happy with all of it. So that's just some good things. Those are just some good things to do. Hey, do you have kids? Well, maybe you get concerned because your kids are always hungry. Doesn't it seem like kids have bottomless pits for stomachs? Goodness gracious, you wonder where they put it all. Well, they're growing, and they need all of the nutrition. So you want to be sure that they have good food. And if your kids are the type they're munching all the time, then maybe having a shelf in the refrigerator that is their designated place, or a space or a drawer, and say, hey, whatever's in that drawer, you can munch on whenever you want. Kids like to do that. So having dried fruits or fresh fruits and, you know, raw vegetables is a good thing. But maybe you want to have something that they can crunch, and you want to make sure, if you're a mom that has the time to do this, this is great. You can fix crunchy tortilla triangles for them. All you have to do is take some flour or corn tortillas, a half a teaspoon of salt. Yeah, preheat your oven to 400 degrees, and you spray the sides of the tortillas with cooking spray, and then sprinkle them with salt. Put the tortillas in a stack on a cutting board and cut them into four pieces with a pizza cutter. And then your kid can lay the quarters out on one layer on a baking sheet, and at 400 degrees, they're going to crisp up in the oven in 8 to 9 minutes. And it's just a great thing for kids to do, and they're very proud that they're doing it with you. But not only that, but you feel like they're getting some good food. Also, there's a protein-packed peanut butter bowl that I thought was really interesting, real easy to fix. You take a quarter of a cup of peanut butter, creamy or chunky, a quarter of a cup of honey, a quarter of a cup of non-fat dry milk, a quarter of a cup of Quick or old-fashioned oats, and three-quarters of a cup of crisp rice cereal. And you want to take half of that and set it aside so that you can crush it really, really fine. And this is how you fix it. You just mix those ingredients together, all of them together, and then if your kid can help you, let them shape them into 18 one-inch balls, and they can put the remaining half a cup of the crushed rice cereal in a Ziploc bag, and once they have them crushed, they'll, with the, you know, however they want to do it, then crush it with their hands, because Rice Krispies is really easy to crush. And then you take those little balls that they've made up and put it in this Rice Krispie mixture and keep them in the refrigerator. Just put them in little, maybe little paper holders. What a wonderful snack for them. It's really easy, good nutrition. Kids usually love peanut butter, unless they have an allergy to them. Also, how about a monkey mix? This is something they can fix in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag, and it's 2 cups of dried banana chips, 1 cup of Cheerios, 5 cups of sliced almonds, 3 cups of flaked coconut, and 4 cups of mini chocolate chips. Put that in a bag, shake it up, and then you can make it into individual portions if you want. Have little packets for them. But so easy. You know, use your imagination. There's all kinds of things you can put together for kids, but they love to munch and crunch. And let's face it, we adults like to do it too. So those are just a few suggestions for the young ones in your house. Well, my goodness, I know we're out of time, and the next time we speak, we're going to be talking about Dan Rather. Yes, that gentleman who is in his 70s and starting into a brand new venue of work and endeavor. But we've got so many wonderful people lined up. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous weekend wherever you are in this wonderful country and world of ours. Take care. We want to have you back here, bright and sassy, on Monday. Talk with you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.